Bienvenidos, bienvenue, herzlich willkommen, welcome to the 91st Minute. I'm your host, Vic Bell. I'm a football enthusiast and an inspiring coach who lives and breathes for the beautiful game. Whether it's football news, formations, debates, or coaches that seal their team's fate, we've got you covered. Thank you for stopping by. Fasten your seatbelts. The 91st Minute starts now. Welcome, everyone, to the 91st Minute. As always, I'm your host, Vic Bell. Today, we will talk about Manchester United. Yes, yes, the Manchester United. Obviously, I can't talk about that big of a club myself. I brought my partner in crime, Monsieur AK. Welcome to the platform.
It's a pleasure to be here finally, man. How are you doing today, Vic?
Man, I'm great. AK, listen, I know how brilliant and how amazing you are. But before we jump into the intricacies of your club and what's been happening, the game, your thoughts, the listeners want to get to know these new guys from the UK. So talk to us, you know, your name, where you live, where you grew up, why you have an affinity towards football and Man United, and why Man United out of all clubs, AK, come on.
Listen, started off simple. People know me as AK. I think that's the easiest and best way to go about it. I live in, obviously, in England, but I live in central England, specifically a small city you might have heard of called Leicester City. We have become quite famous since that Premier League, but I'm not going to lie. I was originally born in Finland, Helsinki. I came to Manchester when I was very, very young with my parents and obviously my family. Pretty big family, 10 siblings altogether. So we could have made a football team ourselves if we wanted to be honest. We came to Manchester. My dad is a very, very big Man United fan. That's how I got involved. I think I've told you this before. First game I went to, I will never forget this day, 23rd of April, 2003, as the great R9 puts three past Manchester United in the Champions League. I'm there listening and watching it, enjoying it. And ever since that day, it's never turned back, man. We've never turned back.
Man, absolutely. That's great stuff. Obviously, it's a long, long time ago, Man United, when Sir Alex was still at the helm. Things are a bit different now with Ole at the wheel. So let's talk a little bit about the game, the opening game. Actually, not even that. Before the opening game, you guys did something that only La Liga usually do when they unveil players. And I'm not going to lie, that shit hit different.
It gave me shivers. I get goosebumps when I just think about it, man. It was absolutely amazing to see someone of Rafael Varane's standards, a player like him, one of the most decorated centre-backs in world football history, to see him walk out to a 75,000 people at Old Trafford singing and applauding him. It was nothing short of sensational. And as you can see, well, we now know because of the full-time score, the energy it gave the fans, the energy it gave the players in the back, the energy it gives him moving forward now. It was a brilliant decision by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to unveil him in that kind of way, man.
100%. It was unbelievable. I mean, I remember when they handed him the shirt, he was coming out of the tunnel. And the noise. Listen, you know what I mean? I wanted to hate, but I just could not hate. It was beautiful.
Listen, they took a leaf out of you guys' book, man. We wanted to do it how it's supposed to be done.
And you guys did it brilliantly. And as we're going to jump right into it, the game, Leeds United, they set up in a 4-4-1-1. I think they thought they had a chance here, but no chance. You guys played a 4-2-3-1. Fred even got on the score sheet. Greenwood, brilliant as always. Bruno, I don't think you can get any better number 10s right now in world football.
They keep doubting him, Vic. They keep doubting him, but he keeps delivering.
Listen, Paul Pogba, I mean, head on the swivel, technical ability off the charts, dropping dimes left, right, and center. I was looking for ways to hate, but as more I was looking for ways to hate, it gave me more answers as to why I couldn't hate.
But do you know what it is? This is what we know. And before I even go into the actual full game, we know Paul can do this, man. We've seen Paul do this for France year in, year out. We've even seen glimpses of it at Manchester United. That was Paul Pogba playing his football, expressing himself how he loves to express himself. And you could see on the pitch when he has people who are efficient in front of him, Bruno Fernandes, who don't miss chances when they get them. You can see his assists are paying off. To get be the seventh player in Premier League history to get four assists in a single game. I mean, oh, come on. Who cares about Graham Souness trying to put him down? Paul Pogba is sensational. But the question remains, I think it's a question that you've asked me before. We've all asked each other. Consistency. Consistency with Paul Pogba is the problem. And I hope for Manchester United's sake, he can remain consistent this season. But he was nothing short of magnificent. That second goal to Mason Greenwood, the ball.
Man.
He was looking in the other direction and that he played. If that was 3 yards in front of him, the keeper could have come out and blocked him. If that was a yard behind where the ball landed in the end, the defender would have got there. It was an inch perfect ball. And Young Money Mace, as we like to call him, Mason Gunwood, he did not disappoint, man. He put that away exactly how it was supposed to be dealt with.
Listen.
Overall, I think I'm not going to take much away from this Leeds game. As much as I want to get excited, we know this is how Leeds play. Leeds open. It's either Leeds beat you 5-2 or you beat them 5-2. There's no in-between with them. So as much as I like the performance, I don't want to get a little bit overexcited here. We need to keep a level head. I think next week will be a good example. Southampton will play a kind of a lower block against us, which is what we technically struggle against normally. So I'm excited to see that game now more than I am excited about last game. But it was a phenomenal performance on the day by Manchester United. Every single person. Bruno Fernandes got his hat-trick. Luke Shaw had a solid performance. Fred and McTominay, I think, actually had very, very good performances in that midfield. They allowed Paul Pogba and Bruno to go do what they did up front. And they sat back. It was an all-around very, very good performance. And Harry Maguire didn't really have much to do. But I'm sure he's looking forward to playing with Champions League Varane.
I'm telling you, man, that listen, for the people who think that fans don't make a difference, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yo, listen, those
I got a quick stat for you before you even get there. Last this season was the second highest opening game goal scored in a single match week in Premier League history. The second highest. This was like a rebirth of football. Teams went out there, home teams went out there knowing that they had to go and play football because the fans were back, their energy's high, everyone's buzzing and it showed with the amount of goals that were scored. We were seeing games in the 4-3s, in the 4-2s, in the 3-0s, in the 2-3s. It was a very high-scoring weekend. And that just shows you, fans make a big difference in football, man.
Absolutely. Very big difference. Absolutely. Listen, the counter-attacks and the attacks were so devastating. I mean, it's almost... And, you know, in England, the difference is you guys are almost on top of the pitch. So it's So when you guys spur on your teams, it's like this 12th man, literally
it's
this
a
energy.
Concoction of noise. Yeah.
Oh my God. Listen, I felt it through the screen. It must have been surreal being at the venue. Manchester United banged 5-1
the
against
pace,
them.
It was more the pace of football that they were playing. You pointed this out to me early on today and yesterday as well. The pace of football that Manchester United were playing, it was touch and go, move, go, move. It was 100 miles per hour.
Man.
And it worked. It worked very, very well for them. But again, United fans, level-headedness. This doesn't mean anything. We beat them 6-2 last year. We will always beat Leeds by a high scoreline when they come to Old Trafford. But it is the low blocks that I'm worried about, man. It is them low blocks.
Oh, man. And listen, you will have your opportunities to test yourself against the low blocks. As you've mentioned, Southampton away, Wolves away. They can't wait to play against the Manchester United. Everybody wants to beat the Manchester United. Is going to be a great test for them and you guys, of course, going away from home. Listen, the season is long. You look to the left and right and you see the competition. I quickly wanted to pick your head on the competition. I'm talking about City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Leicester, and, you know, I have to mention Spurs as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's start at the top of the pack. The guys to beat, Manchester City, they only get stronger every year, man. With Pep Guardiola there, we won't expect them to fall off. If I sit here and I tell you that they won't perform, that's me being naive. People are going to look at that first game against Tottenham. They start like this every year. I think last year they were 14th or 13th, eight games in, and they ended up being first by February. So this team has this thing, this thing that you always tell me as well. Don't let them go on an 18-game win streak, but that's what they do. They just go on these crazy win streaks and no one can do anything about it. But I will say, This year, we're seeing a harder Premier League than we've ever seen before. In terms of, if you look at it on average from top to bottom, the teams at the bottom aren't as bad as they normally are. And the teams at the top are a lot better than they have been over the last 2-3 years. With Chelsea Football Club and Romelu Lukaku coming in, talks of Koundé still coming in there as well. There's talks of a central midfielder that could go in there. These are teams that are all strengthening. Tottenham, Don Paratici, as they call him now, comes in and he's giving them all these young players coming in, you know. And I really like Paratici a lot. One time I had him in to be the director of football at Man United. I wanted him when Woodward was officially going to resign. I had his name in there first because I really do like him and I like what he's doing. He's getting ahead of the curve. He's getting the next generation of talent. So Tottenham will be set in 3-4 years' time when the Romeros are coming through and when the Gills are coming through. So I don't expect much from them this season, per se, especially with this whole Harry Kane drama. Don't know what's going to be happening there. So we just have to wait and see. Mm. I don't really expect much from them. I'm saying 6th, 7th, 5th, kind of around that kind of area for them. Right. Manchester City, Chelsea and Man United. I think that is our top three of the Premier League. It just depends what order. It leaves me with Liverpool Football Club and Jurgen Klopp. People are going to say this is biased because I'm a United fan, but I have my doubts about them. I have had my doubts about them. And that is based off the fact that they're going into the 5th season now with practically the same core of players playing some of the most highest intensity football we see in Europe year in, year out, week in, week out. Are their legs going to be there? They haven't refreshed the squad. They've brought in Jota, who got a goal the other day. You know, Van Dijk is back looking healthy. Robertson, today there was videos of him off the crutches back to kind of walking a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. So it is looking positive for them. But I just don't think, because of the fact that they've had the same squad and the type of football they play, I don't expect them to have their legs going into the later part of the season, especially with the Champions League coming around, with the FA Cup and Carabao Cup fixtures going to start overcrossing each other come October, November. There's going to be a lot of games, and their midfield depth doesn't look that good.
Not to mention African Cup of Nations, right?
Yeah.
Is Salah going to go most likely? Is Mane going to go most likely?
I mean, even before the African Cup of Nations, we've got the South American. Yeah, so when Liverpool play United, I think it's in November, there's the South American friendly games or something like that happening. I don't know exactly where it is. Mm-hmm. But they have to let players like Firmino, Fabinho, and all of these guys have to go with United. Alex Telles has to go. Fred has to go. Cavani has been told he has to go. Now, all these players now need to go to that international duty. Premier League teams have been told they can no longer kind of bat an eye to it and avoid it. They've been told they have to send these players.
Wow.
So it's not just that. And then the African Cup of Nations as well, which I cannot wait to watch this year. It's going to be amazing with the amount of talent that we have. I think we're seeing a bigger and bigger talent pool every year coming out of there as well.
Absolutely.
So I'm very, very excited, man.
Listen, AK, to the listeners, guys, you guys are going to hear a lot more from my bro, AK. We're going to be doing a lot of things together coming shortly. A lot of things are going to be done behind the scenes. So make sure you guys look out for that. AK, I would usually say thank you for joining the 91st Minute, but obviously we have to put you on the hot seat with Quickfire. There is no way. There is no way you will escape. There's no way in hell I will let that happen. So to the listeners, we'll be right back with Quickfire. As I said before, AK shall not escape our wrath of quickfire. Mr. AK, are you ready to play quickfire?
I'm as ready as anyone can be, not knowing what they're getting into.
All right. We will bombard you, or I will bombard you, with 5. Right? You know, I'm nice. Usually it's 7, 8, you know, just 5. 5
this
questions.
This is why I like you. This is why I like you, Vic.
Right. You know what I mean? 5 questions that I would like you to answer as quickly as possible. So here we go. Question number 1. What's more painful, watching City lift league titles or watching Liverpool wake up from their 30-year-long slumber of lifting the Champions League in the 2018-19 and the league in the 2019 season, and why?
I think it's definitely Liverpool Football Club. Manchester City, we can just ignore them. They're nowhere near in terms of stature and in terms of trophies, nowhere near us. But that Premier League and Champions League did put Liverpool above us in terms of major trophies. And I can never, never forgive myself for that.
Okay. Question number 2. If you were Sir Alex Ferguson and had the chance to replay the 2009 Champions League final in Rome, versus Barcelona. What would you do differently to win the game?
Man mark Lionel Messi for the full 90 minutes. Yeah, there's nothing more to it, man. There's nothing more we could do. I think man marking Lionel Messi was the only way forward because he mashed work in that final, man. He mashed work.
Okay. Question number three. Both of these players weren't world beaters, but surprisingly responded well under Sir Alex Ferguson when called upon. Who surprised you more on the pitch with their quality and why? The two players are John O'Shea and Wes Brown.
Oh, this is hard, man. I'd say John O'Shea, because O'Shea, he was more of a utility man for Ferguson at one point. He would fit in any position in that defense or in that midfield. He would slot in without a problem. He was never obviously going to give you a 10 out of 10 performance, but he's a Milner kind of player who'd give you a consistent 7 out of 10 or 6 out of 10 kind of around there.
Okay, we'll take that. Question number four. If you could take three players from that terrific 1999 treble-winning side at Man United in order to fortify this current squad, who would they be and why? Oh,
this is not even a problem. Roy Keane. But I'm guessing I can't say the same man three times.
You cannot.
So I'm going to say Roy Keane. I'm going to go for Dwight York and Peter Schmeichel, yeah.
Okay.
Peter Schmeichel, yeah. I mean, we need that defensive midfielder. We always cry about not having a solid base, a leader. That's what Roy Keane is. He would push those players like they've never been pushed before. I'm tired of this whole goalkeeper merry-go-round where we don't know who's where and who's what. So I think Peter Schmeichel would solve that issue instantly. And up top, man, Yorkie, man, I'm a big fan of him. I mean, people will say there's always questions about there's better strikers than him, but Yorkie is my guy, and I think United do need a striker with Cavani reaching the age he is. So it'd definitely be them three.
Okay. Last but not least, of course, the fifth question. You have players. I'll give you three names. You have to sell one, you have to bench one, and you need to start one. Here are the names: David Beckham, Paul Pogba, Paul Scholes.
Oh, Vic.
Hey, man.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to play David Beckham because you know the love I have for that man.
So you'll start him. Okay.
I think Paul Scholes takes the bench, and unfortunately, as much as it hurts me, poor Nabil Pogba would have to be put on the transfer market. I can't believe you just made me say that. Oh my God.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here you have it. AK, you guys will hear more of him. AK, thank you so much.
I'm shaking my head in disappointment right now, man. Oh my God.
Thank you so much, AK, for playing quick fire with us and being on the 91st minute.
Thank you very much for having me, man. I'll see you guys around, definitely.
All right.